Hip Hop Hustle Podcast, man. You heard it here first.
He's not playing. No, Aaron's not playing. No fucking game.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time.
You got your ear to the streets, man.
Much love to all the people down under.
And make sure y'all follow the Hip Hop Hustle Podcast, man, because they're giving y'all nothing but the real shit.
But yeah, man, appreciate the intro, bro.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's kick it off. Shout out to the whole Hip Hop Hustle Podcast. What's up with it?
All right, there we go. Welcome to the Hip Hop Hustle Podcast. We are back. I'm super excited. We got another artist come through. The one and only Lord Lance has come through. If you haven't checked him out, 100% should, because you're based in Brisbane, right? You're in Queensland.
Yeah, Ipswich, Brisbane.
In Ipswich. Man, yeah. It's so good to have people that are based in Australia. I've started to do more Aussie, so it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. For anyone who hasn't checked it out, you recently came out with Dreamy, the single, and I also saw you announce you're performing at Eden Fest, which is also really, really cool. So, man, yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a busy, hectic year for me, so, yeah, it's just one of those things there. It just comes with, it comes with the life.
Tell me about the busy schedule. Like, because I think people see what it means to be an artist in terms of they see the cool stuff. They get to see all the fun. But what is it actually like living the busy life that you live?
Man, I tell you now, it is fun in the beginning, but eventually, like, you kind of get over it because it's like, it's like repetitive, if you know what I mean. Sort of like fly out, sound check, do a show, fly back next day. It gets repetitive. But then in the beginning, you'll probably party a lot because obviously, like, you know, everything's new experience. And then, like, you learn real quick that you can't do that every single show. You can't go out and party like that. But for myself, it's pretty busy because obviously I'm part of Castile Records. And I do a lot of the background work for the boys, for Lissy, Knox, Sharky. I'm the one that submits the songs through to ADA and does all that background jazz with Warner. I guess if you put in that with my own schedule, that makes it like very busy. Just trying to get everyone's releases up and, with YouTube and Spotify and all that jazz.
Yeah, because it's weird. How long have you been living like this for?
Probably like the last 3-4 years.
Okay, so you've been doing it for a long time. And how often are you traveling interstate? I know we kind of spoke a little bit off camera, but like how often are you traveling?
Like almost every weekend. Like I said to you before, this is probably the only weekend I've had like back in Queensland in a while. But yeah, basically nearly every weekend we're somewhere, whether it's for myself, whether it's for Lissy, whether it's for Knox. When you have a roster like that where everyone's got shows, yeah, basically you're traveling almost every weekend. So it gets very, very busy.
Because the thing that I struggle to comprehend is obviously you still have a family, you still have a personal life, you still have all these things that are happening, and yet you're traveling every single weekend. How do you maintain that balance between, you know, travel, work, your career, and then also being present with all the other things that are going on?
Man, it's a juggling act. I don't know if anyone sussed that out, let me know. But even me and myself, I haven't really sussed that out. It's just a juggling act, man. Like, obviously, because I still work full-time as well. Like, I think a lot of people don't know that I still have a full-time job as well. So along with all the other stuff, I still got to go to work and obviously be here with the family. And then when you're with your family, you want to be present too. So, you know, you're sort of, sometimes you're here, but you're not here, if you know what I mean, because your mind's on something else. So you try and be present with them as much as you can. But even that's time too. So everything is time, you know. But as far as like balancing it all, I haven't figured that out. Still juggling everything, but yeah, when I find out, I'll tell you.
Yeah, please, because I think that's the thing for a lot of musicians is you have so many responsibilities in life. And obviously, as you get older, that just continues to build. And it's not just you. Like in your, you know, when you're young, it's just yourself. You're just looking after yourself. And then as you grow, that just compounds. So I think that's the fascinating thing about your lifestyle and people who are in your industry is what it actually takes to make your dreams happen.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And like when we started music, like obviously we knew that it was going to be like this, but you don't really, I guess you don't really like start to feel it until you start going through it, if you know what I mean. You have a rough idea, but until you start actually doing it, then that's where you actually get to, you know, get the feel of what it's like to, I guess, travel a lot and do music.
Do you ever think about not doing it?
Sometimes, but like I'm one of those guys, like, if I'm not doing something, I'm like, I get depressed. That's where my depression comes from, when I'm not doing something. So when I'm not like keeping myself busy, yeah, that's when I, you know, I kind of feel lost. So I'm always doing something. I'm always on the move.
That's so fascinating. Like, what is it that makes you have to be busy? Like, what starts going through your head? Like, this is your first weekend back in a long time. Are you having those emotions? Are you feeling that way now?
Like, nah. I'm good right now. Only because, like, you need to. I think you need to have that, like, in there somewhere. Like, even me having a full-time job, like, people always say, how come you're still working? You should quit. But I like it because it kind of levels you back out. So when you come back from a show, you go back to normal work and it levels you back out again. You know, like, brings you back down, then you go off again and it does the same thing. It sort of helps you stay humble, and it helps you stay, like, just at a good pace in life rather than, because, you know, like, a lot of the artists or even, like, actors and that, you know, they go from this real high, and then when they have lows, it's real low, because when you come back to that normal, you're not used to that, so you drop even lower, if you know what I mean. So you're jumping from extreme highs to extreme lows, and which is not good for your mind. So for me, like having a full-time job and being able to be here, like having time off, like on a weekend, it helps me level out, like, my mind, you know. So it gives me that stable level.
Yeah, they ride the roller coaster.
Yeah. But I think you need something to, like, keep your balance. Because if you're riding that roller coaster too much, I think that's where things go wrong in people's minds.
Well, the weird thing is, after a while, you've been riding the roller coaster for so long that even if it's normal and even if it's stable, you become so desensitized to it because you're not used to the lack of emotional thrills. Like, you're not used to... just everything being calm, that it makes you feel panicked. It makes you feel kind of lost because you just haven't had that time of peace. I think that's I can just imagine that being a common thing, that they just become addicted to the emotional ride, even if it's the negatives, is that they know the upswing will be really high as well. So, I genuinely, the more I talk to people like you, I'm like, I don't know how you do it.
You're 100% correct. That's what happens in your mind when you're like running a roller coaster like that, or your emotions are just jumping up and down. You get very desensitized to it.
When you were starting this journey, did your, like, what was the conversation you had with your family? Like, what was that like with regards to, hey, this is the dream or this is the goal? Like, how did that conversation be broached? Because I think that's the other thing for me is, like, this is not just you on your own. This is, like, it changes the context of the whole family.
Yeah. I think it was just more like, you know, it's like money at the end of the day. It's like another job. So it's like having another income. I think that's how how we spoke about it. It was almost like having a job, but it's something, a job that I love doing, so it was easy. And also, like, it could fit into the schedule as well, like to my normal full-time job schedule. But it's definitely, I guess every time I go away, it's a conversation, like, and also just trying to, like, detail around things, like family things that are on, people's birthdays, people's weddings, so And that's the kind of things that you always factor in when you're accepting like a show. It's like, obviously, you look at, okay, is it this person's birthday? Is it close to this person's wedding, you know? And yeah, so there's a lot of conversation with my family around like times of shows and dates and whatnot. But yeah, this year, yeah, there's a lot of talk. You have to, because without communication, then obviously it's going to fall apart.
Yeah. Where does the long-term goal grow? Like, where does this go for you? Like, what's your vision of your career and what ends up happening?
To be honest, man, I'm just having fun with it, eh? for my side of things, like music-wise. But as a label, I think for us, it's just to grow the label big enough that we can give a lot more opportunities to the kids around our area, like to have an avenue to you know, be connected to these big labels. Whereas us, we didn't know anything, you know, like until they approached us, we didn't know how everything worked. Like, we didn't know about masters and pitching music to, you know, whoever. We didn't know none of them, like nothing about that. So I think the big goal for myself is just to grow Castile Records so that I guess we can give more opportunity to the kids around this area if they want to pursue music, you know, and let them know that there's another avenue to go instead of playing footy or instead of just going straight to work. Like, if you want to do music, there's a way you can do it, and that's for us.
How would you describe the area of Ipswich? I have never visited myself. I'm a Melbourne boy. A lot of people probably may not be aware of, but how would you describe living there? How would you describe the community? How would you describe the city?
Man, it's a great community. Like, everyone, it's one of those places everyone knows each other. Like, and the community, like, backs you. Like, whatever we do here, you know that the community is going to back you 100%. Whether you're pursuing music or you're trying to play footy or you're, you know, even opening up a business, you know, everyone in the area is going to show up to the business and, you know, contribute, buy something. So it's a place that I was brought up in and a place that I have, you know, obviously grown to love a lot, which is why we referenced it a lot in our songs. But yeah, it's a great place. It's an old country mining town that they used to mine here like a long time ago. But yeah, it's about 30 minutes from CBD, from the city, going west. They were at the west side of Brisbane.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very good place, man. There's a lot of, like, I guess it's one of those towns, like, you didn't really have to leave it. We got everything we need here. So we can just, you know, go to the shops here. We've got, like, big enough shops here to not have to go to the city.
Yeah, well, man. You're convincing me that I need to go visit Ipswich next time I'm up in town. I've got a reason to go now because, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
no, you do.
I think yeah, it's one of those places. I've definitely heard of Ipswich for a long time, but it just never registered in my brain as, like, and I think there are a lot of towns in Australia that are like that, where it's like you recognize them but you've never been, and I guess, you know, every town has its own unique identity and it has its own unique flavor.
Yeah, yeah. I guess if we ask another person that's not from here, he'll probably label it as like a, I don't know, it's been up and down, like in the crime rate. Like, I remember it was like used to be top and then now it's dropped off like heaps because of the community. Obviously, like, there's a lot more things to do here now, where back in the days there wasn't really much to do, so, you know, people got up to no good. But yeah, like, hard to describe. It's one of those things, you just got to come and visit us and then you'll know what I'm talking about. I'll take you to Grubby's.
What's Grubby's?
Oh, it's like a burger spot that we have up here.
Okay. What's your go-to order?
Yeah, yeah. For Grubby's? Double grub.
Double grub.
Yeah.
Is that double? Is that like double cheeseburger?
Like two, yeah, it's just a burger, yeah. Burger with two meat patties, no veggies, straight meat and cheese and sauce.
You know, I've always had an idea for a burger spot, right? And there's like three things on the menu that you do, a double, a single, a chicken, like a fried chicken burger, and then you do fries or onion rings, and that's it. There's nothing else. You don't do changes. You don't do anything else. You're like, this is the burger. You either take it or leave it. And I love the idea of
take or leave it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the idea of the simplest menu and no changes. Like, this is my burger spot. So at my burger spot, you eat what I give you.
Just this is what you're eating.
Yeah.
Nah, I like it. Yeah. I liked it.
Yeah. Well, hey man, you can always open up a burger shop and you can come in. I'll give you the double. Hopefully it meets all your criteria as well. But I think it's fascinating because, you know, that point that you said around crime rates were high because people didn't have anything to do. Like, was that in terms of change, did that come through sport? Did that come through like community centers? Like, how did that change? Because I think a lot of communities struggle with that is like when the youth are bored, of course they're going to get up to no good.
I think it just came from the people, the community. So obviously as people grew older, a lot of the times they saw what the problem was. So obviously like they needed more parks. So I let my cousin borrow my car. He had a date.
Oh.
So he's just bringing it back. He was like, oh, he forgot what petrol it takes. I was like, oh, it takes 98.
Well, it's 6 p.m. What was a day date?
It was yesterday. Last night the date was.
Oh, it was last night. So it must have gone well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because I told him to just bring it back the next day when he's finished. But I said to him, I was like, make sure you tell her it's not your car because you don't want to start your date off with false pretense.
With lies. Man, that's good advice. That's good advice. It might not look, to be honest, it might not be good advice for the actual date, because honestly, I would be like, oh, it's not your car. You don't have your own car. That's disappointing. Actually, let me rephrase. How old is your cousin?
Your cousin, he's in his 20s, like early 20s.
Okay, that's not so bad. I was going to say, if he's in his 30s, then it's problematic.
Oh, no, it's my little cousin. Yeah,
it's your little cousin.
real gun footy player. I reckon he's going to crack the NRL next year.
Oh, really? What's his name?
Four Schwanger.
There we go. You heard it here first. The exclusive on the show is Lord Lance's cousin's gonna make it to the NRL. Well, hopefully.
Don't forget I let you borrow my car, bro. Don't forget I let you borrow my car.
Well, hopefully he comes to the Melbourne Storm. I know probably you don't want that, but I'd like that.
See, I'm a Sharkies fan.
Oh, you're a Sharkies fan.
Either or. Yeah. I'm a Cronulla fan.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were saying that like the community, as they were getting older, they were helping.
Yeah,
the youth.
I think they realized what was like. Obviously, when you're the youth, you grow up, and then because you know, like, why was I doing this? Because one, there was nothing to do, so there was like, it was even the PCYC didn't have many activities. So I think as people grow older, like as those young people grow older from youth, they realize what was wrong and they try and change it themselves. And I'm pretty sure that's what happened in Ipswich. All the kids that were used to cause trouble grew up and sort of thought to themselves, like, you know, why was I doing this stuff? And then they sort of answered it. And then obviously a lot more parks have been built here. We got a lot more centers for the youth, like just places for them to go and hang out, so they don't have to hang out at like the Maccas or something.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot more jobs, the economy as well. Like there's a lot more places that have like people to give, you know, that offer jobs. Whereas back in the days, I reckon, you know, once you got a job, you had to sort of lock it down because there wasn't many opportunities to get a job around here. But nowadays, there's a lot.
Yeah. And is that where your label comes in? Of like, hey, it gives people an opportunity. It gives another pathway to people in terms of showing them what's possible.
Yeah. It's just like, that's probably the main reason why we decided to make a label. Just so like, there was another option here, you know? So you got plenty of options. And because back in the days, I don't think anyone really made music in our area. Like, it wasn't really a thing. You had a few boys that used to like jam on the guitar and that, but as far as recording music, it wasn't like no one, there was no recording studio anywhere around here. So even like home setups, people didn't really know like how to use like Ableton and Logic and all that stuff back in the days. People didn't have laptops, so even that's changed the game a lot, having a laptop.
Yeah. Because how would you describe the music scene in Australia or in Ipswich? Like, because I've spoken to a few Aussie artists and most of them say there's no infrastructure. Like, there's no... There's lots of artists, but there's no one who's facilitating those artists to be successful. There's no one who's connecting. There's no one who's running the agents and supporting them. It's all just like independence, trying to figure it out all together, but there's just no... I don't know. I keep hearing that that's a thing, that there's no one to support the artists.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on what, like, I guess, like, of course, what deal you have or what deal you've made with a major label. If you're running it independent, then yeah, you gotta, I guess that's all on your own. But I guess for us, like we have like a set of people that I guess have been assigned to us. They help us out with whatever we need through Warner and also our distro, ADA. And like these guys, man, shout out to Catherine, shout out to Ben, shout out to Mo, Patrina, man, shout out to all the guys at ADA that help us out with our releases. Without them, we'll be pretty lost. But because we've met these guys through Warner, they've also shared a lot of knowledge of us on how to do things. So I think for us, we're pretty blessed to have them.
But it's not the same for everybody. Like, what you have, is that rare?
I have no idea. I've never really talked to other artists on how they do stuff and that, you know, like sort of what you guys do. It's not really a thing that comes up when you run into people. But I have no idea, man. If it's just us, they're doing that to you. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't just do it just for us. I'm pretty sure they would give everyone sort of like a person that, you know, that sort of designated to them.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that I think maybe it's the hip hop and rap and like it's still very young in this country. Like I still think it's very. It's still finding its roots of like, hey, what is the sound? Like, what is it? Whereas like in the US, the hip hop is like so ingrained. They have a really clear history in terms of what it stood for, where it came from, who were the founding fathers, all those things. Whereas here, I just don't, maybe I'm just not aware of it, but I feel like there's not the same level of like history and depth associated with it.
Oh, 100%, bro, 100%. Hip-hop is very new here. Like, you got the OGs in that, but, like, as far as it being mainstream, it's very new. Like, it's just begun. And that's, I think, that's the good thing about it is that, like, you know, the history hasn't been written yet. So there's still a lot of time and there's still a lot of room for a lot of people to join it. And but that's what's good about it, you know? So we're just starting to make our own roots of hip-hop. And for us in our area, like I guess we have our own message that we share, and then just how the way we convey it, it's unique to us, you know, for our area. And that's like every other artist. I feel like wherever they're from, it's unique to that area how they're making music, you know. And I think that's something that's good about Aussie hip hop, that everyone's like, you know, everyone sort of has that chance to represent their areas and showcase their style of hip hop.
How would you describe your own? How would you describe yours in comparison to others, if you were to describe it?
I think mine is probably humorous. Mine's more humor, like it's like aggressive humor, like I don't know, like for me, it's more. I look at the fun side of rap. You know, a lot of times people rap about serious things, or I'm just like, I'll listen to a beat, and like. The way I rap on it is how I would have a convo with someone. Like, you know, I would use the words that we would, like how me and you are talking now. Like, that's how I would talk on it. So I just use words that are relative, like, to one people of Ireland descent. So, like, inside jokes that we have, or even, like, mainstream jokes. But I would say it would be like aggressive humor. That would be, if I could describe my style, it would be like that.
Is it the punchlines that get you? Because I got to say, there's nothing like a good punchline. I think that is uniquely hip hop, is just when a punchline hits, there's something funny about it. And you're like, it just takes you by surprise. It's like almost you're a comedian in a way.
It's like
you've written this joke that just lands. And it's the most amazing thing, because you're right. It comes out of nowhere, in the sense of like, you can be rapping and you can be aggressive. And then the next thing you know, there's like this joke that just comes in and you're like, it just makes you laugh. I think there's something incredible about that effect.
Nah, thanks, man. Thank you, man. And it's a joke that makes you think too. Like, it's not like a, you know, the what do you call it? It's an innuendo. So you got to think about it, and then you just start like laughing, like, you know, 10 seconds later. But people always like, I always look out for your innuendo, you know, like in the song, because I know you're going to chop at least one like in there. So I think for me, that's what sets me apart from other artists, is that I think I'm the only one that's doing that kind of stuff. Everyone else just sort of does what they do, but I don't think anyone's sort of like on the humorous side of things.
How do you work on that skill, like being able to write a joke into lyrics? I mean, I've tried writing lyrics, right? I've tried myself, and I am not. I know where my skill set lies. My skill set lies in this, in a conversation. This, I'm comfortable. I'm good. I know that I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
But I tried to write something and I was like, this sucks. I'm so bad. So then I'm like, with someone like you, you're not only writing, but you're writing jokes into it. Like, how do you develop that skill?
I guess it's just like I said, it's how me and my mates talk. Like, it's how we chat with each other. We've always been clowns. Like, me and my mates have always been known as like sort of the clowns. Like, we always like laughing and making other people laugh. So we've just, I think I developed it through them just growing up and talking shit with each other, you know, like just making fun of each other, like mocking each other. And then, now it's just one of those things that comes easy to me when I'm, because a lot of people do ask me that. They're like, how do you even think of a punchline for that? Like, you know, like putting that and that together, like gout and like even having gout in the song, but like sexualizing it, it's a pretty out of it thing to do. But it's just like me and my mates always joke about stuff like that, you know? So it's developed through just me and the boys pretty much chatting with each other.
Well, that's really good advice for everyone, is if you're funny in life, you'll be funny in your lyrics. And I think maybe if
just
I can
be yourself, that's the main thing.
Yeah. I was gonna say, maybe the simplest version and the simplest way to be good at something is to just be you. Is to talk with your voice. I think sometimes, and I'm sure you've seen it, and I'd be interested to know, like, do you see people try to pretend to be something that they're not? Like, they're trying to be the image of what they think an artist should be versus who they actually are.
Yeah, 100%. I see that every day. I see that, like, every day in music and in life, people just trying to be something they're not. But like I said, the easiest way to, I guess, to be something is yourself. Like, you don't have to change anything. You just literally be yourself. And then, I guess, everything else, like, just comes with it, you know? Like, of yourself when you're talking to people, and then yourself when you're rapping, people know that it's you. Like, for me, I don't rap to impress anyone. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do. Like, I rap to impress. Not even impress. I rap for, like, the people that are close to me. They understand. As long as they understand what I'm trying to say, that's all I care about. I don't really care if someone that doesn't live here or outside of the circle doesn't understand what I'm saying. Because a lot of the times my references are all just things that have happened in my area that only if you lived here, you would understand like what I'm talking about. And I think that's another thing that separates me too. Is like, I don't really rap to impress other people. I just tell my story.
Yeah. Do you think that makes it harder for you to get your name out there though?
No, not really, because like for me, my goal was never to be like famous or like get my name out there. It was always just to have fun. Like, you know, we all started rapping during COVID because there was nothing else to do, and it was always just for fun. I think once you stop having fun, that's when you know, that's when like obviously, like your mental health starts declining and all that. But for me, it's always just been about having fun.
Well, hey, you and I have a very similar story because I started this podcast during COVID.
Yeah. See, yes, I think a lot of people found out a lot about themselves during COVID. Like either like a hidden talent they had, or just they learned a lot about them as a person because they had to spend a lot of time with like just themselves or just them and their family. So when you think about it, man, like telling someone about COVID in a few years, or telling like your kids about COVID, they'll probably think we're crazy, you know? Like,
I think we were crazy. I still think it was like a dream. Like, you know, it was, what is it? It's coming up to almost 5 years ago it started. And like, it doesn't feel real. There were these 2 years where we stayed inside. What the hell is that? Like, I think our brains just blocked it out. Like, cause I have very little recollection from that period. Probably cause there was nothing going on.
You're right. Yeah. You're very right though. Like, I didn't, like, when I think back at COVID, I don't remember much too.
Yeah.
So it's probably that shot. Probably that COVID shot where it's
yeah, the COVID shot. That, yeah, it's memory loss.
He knows,
like,
man. He knows. Yeah, yeah. It'll probably slowly, it'll probably start to, like, fade away as we get older, like, the memory of COVID. Then we won't even remember it, like, it was a thing.
All right, let me ask you this. Because it might have been that shot. Yeah. I've been thinking about this for a while, right? The people who still wear masks.
Yeah.
Are you like, personally, I'm like, what's going on? Why are you still wearing a mask? Do you have something that I should be like? It makes me feel very suspicious when people still wear masks. Like, it makes me feel very weird. Because, you know,
it's funny you say that because, like, the first time I ever seen masks, like, this was before COVID, was when I was in Japan. And over there, people wear a mask when they're sick.
Yeah. They,
like, just to let people know, like, they're sick. So, like, yeah. And so, obviously, when I came back here, I was thinking to myself, man, that's a pretty good thing, you know? Like, to like, wear a mask yourself to let people know that you're sick. So, you know, obviously, stay away. But you're still, obviously, going to work and stuff. And, yeah, you're trying to contain your contamination. So I was thought, man, that was a cool thing about Japan that I learned, like, and I was like, because I would go to 7-Eleven and they were selling masks there.
Yeah.
That we have as a, you know, Australian standard here. Like, oh, people are sick, they didn't go, fuck, they're just going to rock up to work, huffing and shit, you know?
No, that's one what I mask. Did.
So, like, for me, when I still see some people wearing masks, I'm just like, oh, that's good that you're trying to, like, for me, I think that they're sick. So they're trying to contain whatever germs that they have so it doesn't get around, you know?
Yeah. That's a good mentality to have. I don't think that's the case. I think here they wear masks because they're scared of what you've got. That's what I think. That's just me being cynical. Maybe that's just like, you know, the way my mind works. Yeah. But like, no one wore masks before COVID and now people wear masks. And I'm like, that's because I think you're scared of catching whatever the fuck you think I have. So I don't know. It's just so weird. 100%. I just think Melbourne, it's so weird.
That's Melbourne for you, man.
All right. I see you.
It's a funny thing. I used to live in Melbourne quite like a few years back. I stayed in a little place called
on Sunbury,
country town.
What made you move?
No, I was doing work for my church.
Oh,
I was like a missionary. Yeah, for 2 years, and one of the places I got assigned to.
You didn't save me, my friend. Yeah, we didn't cross paths on your missionary mission.
I was gonna say, man. Because I was stuck in the country, bro. I was stuck out in the country. Shout out to Sunbury, man. I love that place.
So tell me about this mission. So you came. What were you doing when you came for 2 years?
I did a year in Tasmania, and then 1 year in Sunbury. But pretty much when you come down, you just do like acts of service and stuff. So you help like people like mow their lawns. You help old people that can't really do yard work anymore. Pretty much, and you teach anyone that wants to know about God and that, you know, the foundations of it. You pretty much be a good guy for 2 years.
And then you're like, I'm done. That's enough. That's enough for me.
Do your time, bro.
Yeah.
But like, there's a saying on it. There's a saying that we have like, many are called, but few are chosen. You know, like it was a saying that they used to have there, which is right, because like, not many people can do that thing for the 2 years.
Yeah.
Being a good guy, like for straight 2 years, yeah, it's a lot harder than people think.
I mean, it sounds pretty. I mean, it's weird because it's like, I think everyone inherently thinks that they're good. Like, I think everyone goes to sleep at night telling themselves, I'm a good person, or most people, because if you didn't, it would be very difficult to live with yourself. But I guess.
Well, see, it's not the case, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I think my cousin's here.
That's all good.
Come on, there he is. All right, I gotta get it. I'm gonna go take this guy back.
You gotta take him back.
Yeah, because I gotta drop him off to his house.
All right, man. Well, in that case, shall we wrap this up?
Yeah, bro. If you want to, or if you want to continue when I come back.
I have one more question to ask you. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I have to finish on my last question. It's the only question that I ask on the show. Oh, the only one that I plan on the show. I ask lots of questions. If you had to recommend one album that everyone listens to at least once to get an appreciation of, can be any genre of music, cannot be your own music, what would it be?
Probably Craig David. Craig David's first album.
There we go. I have no idea why I did not expect you to say Craig David.
You know, it's the first album. The first album that I saved all my money up and I went and brought, you know, like from the store. So but it's a very good album. If you want something to inspire you, go listen to Craig David's first album.
I love that, man. Well, I appreciate you.
7 days. Yeah, 7 days.
Seven days. Craig David.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, man.
My pleasure. And hopefully I get to see you in Ipswich pretty soon. Or when you come down to Melbourne.
Yeah, man. Just stay in contact. Stay in contact.
Always.
And if you ever come up here, I'll show you around.
Awesome. That sounds good. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for listening to the show. Please like and subscribe and follow me on Instagram at the_hiphophustle for upcoming podcast news. Also, don't forget to check out my Patreon under Hip Hop Hustle for exclusive content and to help support the show. Bye for now.